Good afternoon, everyone. I know what you're thinking. No, I did not get fired from my job. And I'm not trying to rob a bank. 30 people from our church, we're growing our beer out, to raise funds for the Horns of Africa. They're going through a famine right now. And, Asian people growing a beer is not fun, right? It's not it's kind of ugly. And every morning I wake up and I look at the mirror and I shock myself. My girls, I try to kiss them. They're like, no. Baby doesn't like it, but it's good as a reminder in our church and in our fellowships and in our family and for myself that there are a lot of ugly things going on under our noses, right? So it's a good reminder. So that's the story behind it. I hope you guys are not distracted by it. Okay, so let's do a little Christmas reading before we start today's passage. Luke chapter 2, a very familiar passage to us. Luke chapter 2, and if I could have you stand, and let's all read the Word of God together. Start with verse 8, and then we're going to read through 20. Verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His word. Now, this very passage, Luke chapter 2, has got to be one of the most popular passages on the topic of Christmas. And in this passage, the key verse is verse 14. Verse 14, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And in that verse, the key word of that verse is the word peace, what we're focusing on today. What does God want us to know about peace? Number one, peace is God's special gift to us. Our passage starts out by telling us about the shepherds. We like the shepherds. Why? Because we can relate to the shepherds. The shepherds, they're not pious people. They're not sophisticated. They're not extravagant, not like, you know, the Magi or King Herod. At the same time, on the other hand, they're not evil people like the prostitutes, the tax collectors. People did not hate the shepherds or dislike the shepherds. They were just average, common, ordinary, hardworking folks like you and like me. We can relate to the shepherds. So God's grace, God's message, the announcement of the birth of God's child, God's son, Jesus Christ, came to them and their lives were never the same. So for those of us young parents, and you know what I'm talking about, there's two kinds of birth announcement. Isn't that true? Two kinds of birth announcement. One is the general kind where you send out mass email or Facebook these days, right? And everybody immediately know about it. That's the first kind of birth announcement. Then there's a second kind of birth announcement. It's the kind when you're in your delivery room, the baby has just arrived, and you pick up your cell phone and you call somebody, right? That's a different kind of birth announcement. It's a special kind of birth announcement where you talk to people who are very, very close to you. Which kind of announcement did the shepherds get? The general kind or the special kind, the personal kind? Right? The Lord, the angels came and they delivered this special announcement to the shepherds. Even though we feel very common, ordinary, average folks, God has a special announcement to us as well. God has a special gift prepared for us, and it's the gift of peace. Now, speaking of gifts, Christmas is a time for the game White Elephants. How many of you know that game? Are you heard of that game? You played that game? You know that game, right? It's a game that everybody brings a gift with them to the fellowship. And, of course, you wrap it up so nobody knows what's inside the gift. So there's a pile of gift. Everybody gets a number, and people would take turns to go pick a gift, not knowing what it is, and then they open it up, and then the people after them, they could either steal the gift, right, or they could go get a new gift themselves. Now, at our house, we try to host Christmas parties for different fellowships, and I noticed, I've been through so many White Elephants, and I noticed this one thing very interesting about this game. Is this very rarely do people, see, if you're lucky, if you're very, very lucky, well, most of the time you go get a gift and you open it up, with all this anticipation, right? What is it? What is this? And you open it up, all this anticipation, and then that let down. Oh, I don't need another mug. Or, this thing isn't worth $15. Come on, like that. And it's like you try not to show it, but people could tell that just the disappointment. And then the rest of the evening, you're like, somebody steal my gift right here, please. Right? Very, very rarely do people go up there. If you're lucky, you're like, wow, I love this gift. Very, very rarely. Now, I've even had people who would even, they don't even care about the gift. They just leave it at our house when, they don't care. They don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want their gift. Now, think about this. God of the universe, our creator, who knows us inside out, he knows what we need, and he has prepared a special gift for us, and it's the gift of peace. What does that say about peace? Number two, peace is what we all desperately need. If we did not need it, God would not have given it to us. Our Creator, He knew that we lack this peace. This peace, this gift from him. And that's why he gave it to us in the first place. Look at verses 8 and 9. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, that's a key word there, at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Isn't it ironic that they were doing just fine in the dark, at night, in the dark, at night. They were doing just fine. But when the light came, they were terrified. Isn't that kind of ironic? So afraid. They are so afraid. I mean, at night, you're supposed to be afraid at night, but they weren't afraid at night. But it's when the light comes, they were afraid. Just because everybody's going about doing their business, they're busy. Just because we keep ourselves busy and just going from one thing to the other, just like what the shepherds are doing, that doesn't mean we have peace. Sometimes we try to keep ourselves busy so that we don't have to deal with our lack of peace. Sometimes we appear like everything's okay. And we fool ourselves and other people thinking that we are okay. But deep down, we're not okay. In the light of God's presence, in the light of God, who He is, His holiness, we realize just how inadequate, how sinful we are. The truth is this, all of us, we're just like the shepherds. We live in fear. We live in fear. One time I looked up the word phobia, which, you know, fear, on the internet. And I was amazed to see just how many different kinds of phobias there are out there, from A to Z. And from A, there's like list all these different kinds of phobia. And somebody made the comment, says, there is no way to name all the phobias out there that we are struggling with, because every person is struggling with his or her own struggles, issues, and therefore we have different kinds of fears. Where did these fears come from? Why are we afraid? I want to suggest that it started with Adam and Eve. Look at this passage in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. So they sew fig leaves together, make coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord. But God called out to them, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid." Now, it tells us that they, for a while, they were walking with God. They had perfect communion with God. They were one with God. But then something happened. They thought they could run their own lives. They thought they knew better, that they could make decisions on their own. They don't need to listen to God. Sin came into the picture and they began to hide. Why? Because they were afraid. And it's been like that ever since. Isn't it interesting that when they were afraid, they tried to hide behind something? Isn't that interesting that they tried to cover themselves up with something? Because they thought to themselves, well, if I was to hide under something, behind something, then I would feel more secure about myself. Right? I would feel more safe. That we would feel more safe. There's more safety when we hide under. But see, that's not the case. That's just a lie. And we all do that. You know, we reason to ourselves, we are safe, we are secure if we have a good job. Then I would feel safe and I would feel secure. And so what we do is we strive so hard. We work so hard all our lives and we're just trying to pursue this career. And when we have it, we're thinking, no, maybe I could do better. And then we just keep pursuing this and this and this and just one after another. All our lives, we just work so hard. Because it'll make us feel safe and secure. For some people, we think to ourselves, we are safe if we are in a relationship. If we're in some kind of relationship. And so a lot of people, we just spend our time and energy thinking and dreaming and just wanting to get in some kind of relationship. And some people, they go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, seeking security, seeking refuge, thinking that that would provide us some kind of security. Some of us, like me, we hide behind our good looks. No, just joking. Just joking. How about this? This is a big one. How about this? Approval. Yeah? Is approval of people. That we want people to like us. That we want people to think highly of us. And so all our lives, we strive and we work so hard. We don't even know it, but we're trying to impress people. Thinking that if we could have their approval, then we're at peace. But do we truly experience peace? Does this world, I mean, everybody's working so hard for something. Are we really at peace? What we need is Jesus' peace. And during this Christmas season, God wants us to be reminded that our answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Not politics, not our government, not economy, not all this health care and all these hot topics. No, not none of these things. But Jesus, that's what we desperately need. I want us to read this quote together, which I love. Ready? Let's read together, all right? No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. People are listening online, they're like, what are you talking about? But that makes sense, doesn't it? If you have Jesus in your life, you will experience peace. Number three, peace comes when we allow Jesus to be the Lord of all. To be Lord over our lives. Verse 14, the NIV translation says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Now, I don't know about you, but that requires some thinking. Like, what exactly does that mean? So there's another translation. The New King James translation says, a little bit more clear, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, or toward men of goodwill. Okay, that's a little bit more clear. But then let's look at New American Standard Bible translation. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. Peace, that's joy, fulfillment at every level toward men whom please God by aligning themselves, their will, to God's will. How can we have peace with God? How can we have peace with God, our Creator, when we are at war with Him? How can we have peace, experience peace of God, when we are not at peace with God? That makes sense. When we insist on our own agenda, when we insist on our own will in our lives, What does it mean for us to have Jesus as Lord of our lives? That means for those of us who have not received Jesus Christ into your life, that means in order for us to have peace, we got to receive Jesus. We got to say to Him, Lord Jesus, I don't know a lot of these things that people, there's so much I still don't know. And the Bible and all these things, I don't know. But as much as I know how, I want You in my life because I can't do it myself. I need You and I need Your peace. I don't have peace. I need You in my life. I receive You into my life to be Savior and Lord. For as believers, that means we make peace with God by submitting ourselves under His will. We must abandon our own desires and our own will and say yes to God's will because He is the Creator, because He is God, and He knows what's best for us. In other words, we all, every one of us, no matter who we are, believers, unbelievers, young or old, we all need to come to God on His terms. That's what we're talking about. We need to come to God on His terms. You say, why? But why? Why does it have to be that way? Why does it always have to be about God, doing God's will, pleasing God, glorifying God? Why does it always have to be like that? Why does it always have to be on God's terms? Why can't it be on my own terms? It's my life. I could do whatever I want to do. Why does it have to be God's terms? So I thought, yeah, let's give that a try. So I kind of did a little bit of experiment. You know, in our household, Julie, my wife, is in charge of the kitchen, so she does most of the cooking. And so when Julie calls us for dinner, right, dinner time, usually what happens is nobody comes to dinner, right? Because we're all busy doing our own things. And you know, some of us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, dinner's, you know, Julie's ready, finishing cooking. All right, time to eat. What do we do? Nothing. 5 minutes later, come on, dinner's ready. Everybody come. Nothing happens, right? 10, 15, 20 minutes later, we're all there. We're hungry. We're ready to eat. But the food is cold. Julie's not happy. She's very, very, very not happy. Well, this one evening, a couple weeks ago, she's had it. She's had it. So she decided, you know, that's it. I'm just going to call once, okay? Just one time. Just call one time, and if you don't come, you don't come at all. That's it. Just one time. You come on my terms, or you don't come at all. Well, I didn't like that idea. I think that's stupid. I said, no, I am not coming until you call three times. Well, you might notice I lost some weight. Haven't had supper lately. But it's okay. I'm sticking to my terms. My terms. It's got to be my terms. I know this car shop, Meineke Car Shop. I know the owner, Mr. Wang, and he would talk to me, and he said, Mr. Liu, you've got to take care of your car. You know, you drive a lot. You know, you're all over town. You drive a lot, but you've got to remember to get your car here for regular maintenance. You know, you got to change those belts and stuff, because if you don't, I'm afraid, well, you won't have a car. You won't have a car. And I thought to myself, the nerve of him telling me how to take care of my car. Who does he think he is? Well, my car died the other day. I've been walking, but that's okay. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. See, what do you think? It's stupid, right? I mean, those things didn't happen, all right? Just It's stupid. I think it doesn't make sense when we insist, God, no, my terms, not your terms, my what? No, it doesn't make sense. The one who loves us, the one who created us, he says, do it my way, would you? Do it my way. I know your life. I know what's good for you. I know what you need. I have a good plan for you. Submit to me, would you? Let me tell you what to do. I know what I'm doing. There's a song. It's really popular in the 80s, but it's okay. If you love karaoke, you know this song, and it's called My Way. And I posted the lyrics up here. It's really good. It's a good, great song. Listen to this song. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I lived a life that is full. I traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets? Yeah, I had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yet there are times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit it off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and I spit it out. I love that. So macho. Yes. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way. Beautiful song. It's a nice song for karaoke. But it's not a nice song to sing to God. In fact, let me assure you that nobody will be singing that song in heaven. In fact, they're singing the other song. I did it. Whose way? Jesus' way. God's way. Your way. Because that's how I got here. You know who is singing my way? Oh, let's not talk about that. That's too harsh. That's what the shepherds did, right? Your way, God, your way. Luke chapter 2, 15 to 20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, and I underline some key phrases here. Let us go straight. Isn't that interesting? Let's go straight to Bethlehem, then see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry, no time to waste, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby. Verse 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, what they saw. Verse 20, the shepherds went back, glorifying, praising God for all that they had seen and heard. I loved when it says they just hurried off, right? They realized something amazing has taken place. Their eyes were open. They hurried off. But you know what? Shepherds, they can't hurry because sheep are slow. But they hurried off. How about their sheep? But you know what? It doesn't matter. Sheep were their security at that time. That's their identity. They were shepherds. But you know, it doesn't matter because they found what they were looking for. They went in a hurry. Look at what changed about these shepherds. It says they began to tell everybody. Everybody. Now, we have to understand shepherds, they were shy people. They weren't social butterflies, right? That's why they were shepherds, hanging out in the desert, in the fields, by night, right? Nobody, they don't need to talk to anybody. They talk to sheep, right? So it's okay. Everybody's boring. It's okay. Some of us introverts, we can relate to that. We don't need to talk to anybody, right? I just want to be by myself. I don't need to talk to anybody. So shepherds, when they saw Jesus, what happens? Something changed in them, and they began to talk to everybody. That's a transformation right here. See, when we come into encounter with the living God, Jesus Christ Himself, something will change in us. Something will transform us. It changed their personality. It changed their identity. It changed everything. Their mission in life, their perspective. My friends, Jesus is calling out to us. He wants to give us peace. And I hope that this Christmas, don't let another Christmas go by without making peace with Him. Don't let another year go by, another month go by, another week, another day go by without making peace with God, because God wants to bless us with this gift, the gift of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom God's favor rests. May every one of us experience God's peace this Christmas season. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we admit we need You. We need Your peace. We admit that we try to hide it, and we try to hide behind some of these things that we spend so much time, effort pursuing. Heavenly Father, thank You for reminding us that nothing will satisfy us, that nothing will give us peace until we make peace with You. And I pray for every single person here in this room that they would do so this Christmas season. That as everyone is celebrating Christmas, that they would make peace with You, the Prince of Peace. That they will know You and experience You and Your peace in a powerful way. Would You do that for us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.